Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
So this is just a warning disclaimer at the start of the episode that this episode we deal with trauma and squalor, and some things may trigger you. And so we just want to give you a warning on that. And also there is a little bit of swearing in this episode. To put your earbuds in, turn it off.
Not for around, little ears.
Around little ears, or if you're fine with that, that's cool too. But yeah, just giving you a warning that we have a wonderful conversation, but there is some trigger warnings to come.
Welcome to the Out of Decluttering podcast. I am your host, Amy Ravel.
And I am Kirsty Ferrugia.
And we are very excited today that we've got a third mic. Our community know what professional organisers do. Obviously, you listen to our podcast. You may have listened to the episode from Wendy and Angela on how they help people affected by hoarding disorder. Today, we are very excited to interview Sandra Pankhurst. Woo! If we're allowed to clap on a podcast. Sandra, welcome.
Thank you, thank you, thank you for having me on board. My favourite topic.
Ours too. Sandra, what you do is really that next level. Like there's Kirsty and I and what we do with people in their homes. Then there's Angela and Wendy who help people with hoarding disorder. Yeah. And then there's what you do. Can you introduce yourself a bit and tell us about what you do?
Right. Well, we're STC Services. We are a heavy duty cleaning company and organisational company. So we do work for the Department of Justice, which is murder, suicide and aggravated burglaries. We work for Victoria Police, maintaining police stations, their cars and things like that. And we do lots of government, community groups and a lot of charity organisations in looking after people in the community that don't know how to clean or maintain their house or the likes of. And we do a lot of NDIS. So we're quite busy. And but really, you people that do the declutter, we would be the ones that you call in after to clean the house to get it into the way it was meant to be. And so you do the declutter, or even though we do it ourselves, but you guys do the declutter and then we go in and do the heavy duty clean after, so make sure everything's spick and span and the house has a better chance of recuperating. And the clients also become much healthier in themselves too, because they've been living in this infestation for a while and they don't realise how it affects their health. So sometimes when we have a client that's a hoarder, that we find that they're really resistant to having it done in the first place. And by the end of it, they're the ones that are going, throw, because they can realise the pressure is coming off their shoulders, that they've hung on to all this stuff for all these years for no apparent reason, because they had a misguided understanding of where the love was. Do you know what I mean? And every story has a story behind it as to why they're in this situation. And it is to a degree a mental health thing, but it's also something they inflict on themselves as punishment because they don't feel like they're good enough. Do you know what I mean? And like we've seen people over the years for 20 or 30 years buying birthday presents, Christmas presents, Easter presents, birthday presents, all this sort of stuff adds up over the years. And you think, they're not coming back, you know, but they're not coming back because the house is not clean enough to bring their children into, or there's been some sort of dysfunction. And so when they get it clean and they get to have their families back, the whole world opens up to them. Do you know what I mean? But sometimes they're caught in this quagmire of what they don't understand and in their own troubles with that, and looking at life maybe as a half glass full rather than the glass half empty, half empty as to a glass half full. So, you know, we have the ability to change people's lives and for the better.
I love the way you speak. I just love the compassion and the non-judgmental attitude and your empathy that you leak in every single one of your sentences. Like you have got such a heart of gold, and it is so... it's so evident. I can't wait for our listeners to hear more of the gold that you're going to
have. I can be a hard-faced bitch at times, I can tell you. You know, like we know our role and what it is, and we're actually there to help people, to assist them, and to get them through some turbulent times they've had. And, you know, and if they have problems in letting go, do we do a board of collections of things, of fabrics, of smells, of pictures and things like that they can keep, rather than having this whole conglomerate of things? We give them an empathy board. Do you know what I mean?
And let them up, yeah.
So, you know, or taking photos of things rather than having it build up, because the rats or the mice and all that sort of stuff are going to eat it. So why don't we start looking after you, because you should come first as the client. And then once the house is in gear, you'll find that you feel better in yourself, you feel happier in yourself, you know, and you'll possibly get your children back or your grandchildren back into your life, and that'll enlighten you and make you feel better in yourself.
There's such an air of dignity about how you treat people, Sandra. Like I think if I was one of your clients, I may initially feel ashamed, but I think when someone comes in with such like that compassion and you're giving them dignity, I think that that's a really beautiful thing, rather than, you know, what people might expect is that, oh, this is terrible and disgusting, but it's all about the person.
It is, and it's really about, I had such a horrible childhood growing up that I feel like no one should be treated like that, and we all deserve to be treated as an equal. Like I would never go and do a quote on a property when I was working, mind you, and I'd never wear a face mask or overalls, or no matter how grotty it was, because I have to assimilate to that person that's in the house. Because when you become chameleon and you can relate to that person, so I can deal with Mr. and Mrs. Poor or Mr. and Mrs. Rich. Do you know what I mean? So you have to size out your audience you've got, which is your client. Excuse me if those notices keep coming up, but I've got emails coming through and through.
That's fine.
I never go in there with masks or anything like that. And I sit with them on maybe a filthy couch or something like that with them, so that they feel they can relate. And like I had one incident where we had a property, for example. I went to the door to see, and no one was answering. And then the relative of the lady that I was meant to be seeing, he turned up and he said, "Oh, I'm so surprised." He said, "I expected a man in big burly overalls to be coming to see." He said, "My mother, my auntie or something like that would be so pleased." And like, and we got on the house on fire, but I found that she spoke really roughly. Do you know what I mean? Even though she's in quite an affluent area, she was effing this and effing that and all this. So I carried on the dialogue with her in the same way. And we got on like a house on fire. Like we were there for 5 days in getting this place up to scratch, because she had two disabled daughters and she had the need to please, to look after them and give them everything they want, but was just absolutely worn out with her property and she couldn't maintain it. And the dogs were crapping everywhere, and she put newspaper on the top of that, and then that crap, and that newspaper on the top of that. And this come about through a council that she had a fire at the property in the back laundry. and the laundry wasn't attached to the house. But when the fire brigade come and they saw what the challenges were, we then got called in to help clean up the property and get it back to scratch. But it was quite a bit of manoeuvring, but quite a successful outcome in the end. Do you know what I mean? But it's a matter of assimilating with the client. You've got to make them feel. But I always say to them too, I come in here with nothing, but I have to protect my staff, so they'll have to wear PPE and things like that. I hope you understand. Yeah, and of course, once you present that to someone, as if they're going to say no. You know what I mean?
So yeah.
They're just as eager, and you build up that rapport by doing the quote. And yeah, like if a quote takes an hour or 2 hours or whatever, so be it. It's part of investing in your client and getting the best out of your client. And quite often we can find that we end up knowing more out of the client than their social workers, their handlers and all this, because they look at us as the cleaner and they'll talk to the cleaner, but they're too scared to talk to anyone else in authority because they're frightened they're going to be slammed down for it or whipped across the back. Do you know what I mean? So we get to hear a lot of the stuff, and naturally as our obligation to the people that are paying for the job, we let them know of what's going on.
Mm. It's such a privileged position, isn't it?
Oh, it is indeed. It is indeed. And it's a very fragile position too, because you can't break that trust. Mm-hmm. You have to live up to it and honour your agreement and be right on the ball. Like, you know, if we say we're not throwing in there, we don't throw anything out. But quite often we can see what is really trash and really has to go. And because it got several people on a team, I could be on one side talking to the client and I'm going, tip it, you know. And so that's how we sort of get through, you know, and they don't notice, you know. But we have a law that you cannot hop in the dump in. You hop in the dump in, we're out of here. We're breaking OH&S rules.
Yeah, I like that.
The dump in has to be picked up on that day, because otherwise I'll squarry back into it and then bring all the crap back inside.
I had a client do that on Friday, Sandra. We had all our bags of rubbish and they were out the back ready to be collected. And by the time I got back there the next day, the bags, everything was over the garden floor.
Yeah.
Everything, every bag had been gone through. And I was like, oh.
You can't do that because you're making a rod for your own back.
Exactly.
And also you're not delivering the service that you promised to your client. Because for me, all the rubbish has to be out that day, because they can't be trusted. This is why they are in a situation they're in, because they can't control themselves. And they're frightened that what they didn't see, what is it that I'm missing? What? So they build up their anxiety that way. So it's best to get it off the property, sorted that day, so that they've got a bit more peace of mind. They will say, oh, I haven't seen this route. Well, we packed up this and we packed up that, and you have a look through that and see if you can find it. You know, they've got to take some responsibility too. The other thing to be really careful about is I've had numerous phone calls over the years that we have on our contract that they must put medical items or tablets or medications aside, and plus jewellery or any monetary value they have in the house. They have to be responsible for it, because you can imagine we go in and clean a house and then they'll ring up and they'll say, oh, I can't find my medication. I said, well, hang on, you signed the form to say that you would take care of your medication. Where was the last place you saw it? Oh, well, I saw it on the floor next to my cupboard. I said, well, hang on, where's your responsibility in this? Do you know what I mean? Like, it was on the floor. Mm. It could be amongst the rubbish for all we know. You know, you have to take responsibility for it. I suggest you go and have a look. I'll ring my staff, and if I can find out something, I will. But otherwise, if you don't hear from me, there's nothing else I can do.
Yeah.
Because you've got to be strict on them. Do you know what I mean? So they've got to understand there are perimeters.
Yeah. Sandra, can you give us a snapshot of what a day at a work job would look like for you and your staff? Because obviously, we've talked a lot to our community about what it looks like for us. But what does it look like for you? What are you wearing? What's the level of clutter or squalor that you're heading
Every
into?
Every job is varied and varied. Quite often we'll go into a place that's quite squalid and the rubbish is almost up to the roof. And you'll see fingerprints all across the roof, the ceiling. So that's and they're never really the cleanest of people. So you'll find that they're climbing over the rubbish, setting themselves on walls and fingerprints on the ceiling, So you can see how advanced that is, whereas you might get someone on a clutter rating scale of a 3 or 4, which is nothing in comparison to what we seem to see the worst of the worst. You know what I mean? So ours are quite extreme. We've had places where we've gone into and she was quite recluse, this particular lady, and we had to use Jimmy bars and crowbars and all that sort of thing to break up the thickness of what would have been there for years and walked all over, and the roof was rotting away and the rain had been coming through, so it was like sheets of concrete. And so, you know, we had to have the door taken off at the front of the house to be able to get access because the door would only open so far. You know what I mean? It's actually quite sad how people put themselves through this and how they just absolutely destroy their properties, you know what I mean? But they don't stay in the house all day. They stay at night. They often they don't have water or electricity or anything like that, so they go to local McDonald's for a wee or whatever and they eat there or something, or they might go to the local charity house for a meal or something. What we see is quite dramatic in comparison to what you guys would see, I should imagine.
Yes, we have made the conscious decision that we don't even work with hoarders. We outsource that to people who specialize in that. Yeah. And then you're even, you know, you get you get outsourced by them
we
as well,
the
don't you?
Ice.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and that's why we find this so fascinating, because this is so far out of our purview. Like we choose not to, because we know that we're not equipped to, and that there's people who are so passionate about it, like you, and you. So, we may as well refer people to you.
Yeah, different strokes for different folks. Do you know what I mean? Like, you guys are great in the organising and helping people out before they get to the stage that we get to.
Correct.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So that's why there's so much work for everybody in the industry that we don't need to backstab or stand on anyone else or anything for work, because there's plenty of work. It depends on your good nature too as to whether you get repeat business. I have never ever advertised my business. If I'm not good enough word of mouth, I don't deserve the business.
That's
how I look at it. You know what I mean?
I love that. Yeah.
So how long have you been in business for?
30 years.
We interviewed Peter Walsh a couple of weeks ago, Sandra, and we said, what's your advice to anyone wanting to start out in the professional organising industry? And he responded with, don't. So similar to your feelings.
It's a hard yard to row, but it's a very rewarding road as well. Do you know what I mean? When you take the personalities into consideration, see, look, I'm not into the shows like the Peter Walsh and all of them, at the shows, because they do a TV style and it's not getting reality into what is really happening in the real world, because we're not going to paint the place, we're not going to redecorate the place, and we're not going to, all that's fantasy land for TV. And people need to understand that we do what we do to the best of our ability, but we're not going to remodel your house for you. That's another perspective. No, so they need to understand there are different situations for different jobs, and that's how it all gets spread around, that, you know, you just got to be good at what you do.
Yes.
You know, Sandra, and don't rely on TV shows.
No. If someone's listening and they're kind of trying to decide, is their level of clutter at Amy and Kirsty level, or are we at calling Sandra level, would you differentiate? Like, when is it time for someone to call you in?
Well, I'd say probably from a clutter rating scale of maybe 6.
Could you explain the clutter rating scale? I don't think we've talked about it on the podcast before.
Right.
We did it
have
a
you
little
got
bit
a copy of the clutter rating scale?
We can put one in the show notes.
Right, okay. We'll get one of the show notes, and it shows you how like, one is just minimal shit thrown around the place. Do you know what I mean? And then it gets up to, like, a 4 is probably waste, not even waist height, but a little bit less than waist height. But then you can get up to a 10 where it's up to the ceiling. So there are various levels of what the clutter rating scale is, and that's then should determine who you would call to do the job. So would you classify yourself as a 1-4?
Maybe, yeah, 1-3 or 4. Like, I've got clients where I can't get in the room that we're wanting to declutter. Right. They don't know whether the room's carpeted or floorboarded. Right. So I possibly do a little bit more with those who are leaning towards hoarding disorder, but anything more than that, particularly with squalor. I don't mind finding a dead mouse, some mouse poo. Like, that's, you know, that's everyday rodents kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But certainly not body fluids, not pet poo and that kind of stuff.
Oh, you call us for that shit.
Yeah, correct.
We're dealing crap every day of our lives, you know.
Yeah.
So
that's what I was going to say.
It's also very important to be careful of when you do deal with rats and things like that. You can get the panavirus, you know, from rats and urine and things like that. So you must be very particular in the cleanliness of your hands, or, you know, and you're now with the COVID virus, touching your face and things like this, you can get very, very sick at it.
Absolutely.
Very sick. So hygiene is paramount, especially when you're in there reorganizing someone's house, because you don't know how clean really they are. You can see the disorder in their life, but you don't know really how clean they are, or whether there's vermin or that walking all over stuff. You can see the evidence of it, but it's not clear everywhere. Do you know what I mean? Until you start pulling things apart. We'd have to have a wildlife officer on scene because the amounts of rats and mice that were in the property.
Wow.
How did you learn what you've learned? Like, how did you, you know, how do you, yeah, I'm fascinated by how you got into this business and then how you trained yourself in what you need to know to be safe, right, and to...
Well, originally I was a laboratory technician, so I was into chemistry and all those sort of things that sort of define what we need to use. And then I had a career as a funeral director many years ago, and I could see the need of a trauma cleaner. And out of the trauma cleaning come this hoarding bizarre thing out of it. And I didn't really hone myself in on that, but that's what I found I was really the best at. And it was the police, fire brigade and ambulance didn't want any of the work because they had their own gigs to do. Mm. And so I started the business out on that because I did have a domestic cleaning just business prior to that, and it was called We're Absolutely Fabulous. And our catch cries, if you need a cleaner, remember We're Absolutely Fabulous. But that became nickels and dimes money. And in those days you didn't have to pay your staff between jobs. You only had to pay them for the work they did. And so when things started to change, it got really challenging, and you'd have, oh, I'm not coming in today, Johnny's sick, or I don't feel up to it today. And you'd be working your butt off to keep this business going around the clock with end of lease cleans and spring cleans and, you know, all this sort of stuff and your regular domestic work. And you're thinking, God, I'm making nickels and dimes out of this, you know. So I thought back to my funeral director days and I thought, this is the way I need to go. So when we got our first job in Clayton, it was, and it was a minefield because I had a nickname, Mrs. Sparkle. And for Mrs. Sparkle going to this den of inequity was like a shock to the system, you know. I've almost had to have a Bex and lie down. And anyhow, I go into this property and it's discarded everywhere, like a metre high of beer bottles and everything like that, and every nook and cranny in the place was jumped on cans and bottles and all this sort of stuff. And that's where we needed a wildlife officer because the rats were jumping out and they were bigger than my domestic little dog here. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, and I've got a fear of rodents. I hate the bloody things. And so anyhow, that job took us 72 hours straight between the two of us to do.
Wow.
By the end of it, I thought, oh, I don't know whether I can do this. And plus we'd taken off 5 layers of flooring on the ground in the kitchen got to the 4th layer, and then I had to ring the guy and said, look, nickels and dimes, but we need more money because this is flooring is contaminated again and we can't get it till it's clean. Give it over to you till it's clean. So he said, okay, agreed to another $500. And we took the last layer of flooring off, but we had to cut it, the lino, pour boiling water over to break down the glue, and then get spades underneath it to shove it off the floor. And with that, our hands become, every time we hit a rivet, because it was not only glued down, it was riveted down. And so every time we hit a rivet, it would ricochet on our hands. Our hands were like watermelons in the end, and like we were depressed. We were really depressed. And I thought, I don't know whether I can do this. I don't know whether I could do this. But out of adversity, you go, oh, of course I can. I need the money. I need the money. So hence, you know, 30 years later, I don't have to work. I have my staff to work for me and they do a fantastic job. You know what I mean? So thank you, God, I did persevere with it.
How do you train your staff, Sandra? It's not, you know, it's not something that anyone goes to uni for, what you do.
We train them on the job, and there's a spokesperson for every job, and monkey see, monkey do. Mm-hmm. And we also have tests that we do once a month on different subjects and things, and it's a written test and it goes into their file as well. So they're keeping up with the knowledge that we're imparting upon them and how they handle certain situations and things like that, and that keeps the knowledge fresh in their mind. And also you'll find with Wendy and Angela that there's new terminology that DHHS use. So you have to learn the terminology of that. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
to get you akin to with who your clients are going to be and how that you're going to operate. So those sort of things have to be put down into a tell you form and then an exam form after that. So, and that's the way we keep on top of things.
This August, the Art of Decluttering is supporting hashtag HalfCut. HalfCut.org are a fundraising movement with the sole purpose of buying up and protecting endangered rainforests globally. So this year they are protecting the Dane Tree. So with half the world's forests gone, their mission is to save the last remaining 50% of forests and start the regeneration of what we've lost. Trees are one of our best bets against climate change. And you know how passionate Amy and I are about the environment and about climate change. So we are here to support HalfCut. Now you can do that. You can also get involved, and they're raising money this year to buy back areas of the Dane Tree rainforest, and in particular lot 155. This project will support the Kuku Yilanji self-determined through maintaining cultural practices, education of younger generations, and training in caring for country, and economic assistance in the form of jobs. So that is what we're supporting this this year and this August. Check out our show notes for more information and how you can get involved in halfcut.org.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
So with the trauma cleaning, so we've spoken a lot about squalor cleaning, but you also do trauma cleaning, which comes after, obviously, trauma, but that is directed to you by the Department of Justice and the police. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Well, that's a specialised thing. So we have ABRA in America that train us on that. And we're certified. We've got certificates, and I encourage my workers to have it done. And then what I do, I have it framed. So we have red walls inside because our colours are red, black and yellow. And red walls with a black background on one side, but we have white frames, quite ornate white frames, wooden, and then we put their certificates in there. So every time they get a certificate, it gets put on the wall and encourages them to see. And so if anyone comes to our offices to have a look, it used to be our boardroom, but now we're turning it into a training room. We've got rid of the table. We're now having just chairs put in there, but with COVID, we can't even use it for that because we can't fit everyone in the room with safe distancing. So we've been working on having Wendy and Angela come and do the top-up course for DHHS. But every time we book the hotel, they've got shut down again. So we're still on the never waiting list. Waiting.
It's crazy, isn't it?
It is, yeah. So a few obstacles in the way, but, you know, we're not going to let it beat us because we're still continually working anyhow, and we keep getting feedback, and we check on staff once a month. I have a meeting with the manager and see how things are going, what new things have made them feel like, you know, where am I going, how am I going, you know, what's wrong, what's not wrong, what have ways we can improve the business and things like that. So the constant contact with the staff as well as feedback from the clients. And when they do a job, we have job sheets for every job, and then they have to put down comments of how that job went on the day. So that when we, if we have a problem or something like that, we can go back and go, oh, well, you asked us not to clean that particular room. Oh, yeah, I did. But then I'm pitching off to the support worker. Oh, they didn't do that room. Well, we've got your signature to say you told us not to do that. So we have to cover our butt in every possible way. Mm. Do you know what I mean? So we have two forms that they have to sign. One is who's paying for the job and where it directly goes, because they're not going to have it sit on your desk and then go to another department in a month's time. And then also one from the client to say that they'll put their objects away and their medications and things like that away, and we are not responsible, and we use that form as well. So there's two forms that have to come back before we even set foot on the property to do it.
So how many staff do you have? Sounds like you've got a big team.
30.
Wow.
Mm. So fantastic.
It is great. I'm very happy. Don't you worry. I just think of the commission. Thank you, God.
I love it. Sandra, when I read your book, one of the things that really stood out to me was that you seem to be like a possibility thinker. It seems like at so many points in your life, you've kind of come up against what others would perceive as a brick wall. And even when you're going into clients' homes that are squalid and, you know, falling apart, or there's been a trauma there, other people would think, oh, that's a brick wall. But you seem to have an ability just to cut through that and always see possibility.
Yeah.
How have you developed that?
I don't know how I develop it. This is an inane thing that I have, that I can go in and I can see the practicalities of it. I always look outside the square and I go, well, we've got to have a starting point and we've got to have a finishing point. So then we start from there. So it'd be like with the hoarding of the rubbish, we would go through things systematically. We often bring things out, have a client under a safe area with trestle tables on the side, and we go, keep, go, or charity. Keep, go, or charity. Keep, go, or charity. And we tell them that these have to be quick decisions, because if you have to think about it, you don't really need it. You're only hanging on to it. And so we do that and then get them through the process, and then we get everything off to the skip or whatever. And sometimes we've even had to have a site safe. And I don't know whether you know what a site safe is. It's like a container, but it's fully enclosed and doors on it, and you put your own padlocks on, so the client is the only one that can have the keys to the padlock. And so we'll have to pull everything out of the house because the house is so contaminated. We clean the furniture down that we're going to keep, store it in the site safe, or the objects that we're going to keep, store them in the site safe, and then once the place has been fully washed out and cleaned or whatever, or even carpets removed or whatever, then we start bringing everything back in from the site safe. So that it's from a clean, it's gone from a dirty environment to a clean environment, stored, and then from the stored environment back to the clean home.
And that's why, like, how different you are from even a hoarding, you know, the yep. Angela and Wendy get you to come in and do the cleaning side of it, because you actually physically clean everything that back into the home. So you'll clean the couches, you'll clean the carpets, you'll clean. So can you share more about that with us?
Well, I don't really know what to share is, because if you clean, you clean. probably.
Like, you have industrial cleaners, or like, because when we think about cleaning, when most people think about cleaning, they think about Windex and power, you know.
Oh, like, God, no.
Exactly.
No.
That's what I'm like.
Heavy duty chemicals that we use, and like, we've got a product called Speed, and it's not what you think, but it's Speed. And what it does, it dissolves grease instantly. Wow. So, but you can use it on that. And then you have to wash it down and everything, and the grease is immediately gone, right? So, but if you can't use Speed on things like glass or any other surface, because it leaves a greasy residue on it. So everything has to be washed down. There's different chemicals for different things. There's different things for urine. There's different things for, you know, we used some of the natural products from BioSafe products that are a live enzyme that we can spray down on things if they're contaminated. Like, sometimes you'll get a fridge that's really rotten, the power's gone off and the food was in there, it's gone rotten, and you can imagine the smell of it, it's hideous. And so we would mask up, open up the fridge door, spray the buggery out of it inside and shut the door and wait for a couple of hours and you can open it and the odour is then destroyed. It's the live enzymes just keep eating and eating and eating away at it until it dissolves itself. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But quite often we would have to take a lot of the shit out first, because otherwise it's not going to work through all the stuff. We have to get a basic shell and to be able to spray it out, and it gets rid of the smell.
How do you, have you got that ability that nurses have to like block their nose without?
Yeah.
How? Well, because
you don't breathe through your nose, you breathe through your mouth. Because if you breathe through your nose, you'll never get the smell out of your nose.
Right. That's the key. All right.
Yeah.
I'm taking that on board.
Yeah. So breathe through your mouth, and you can always cough up a bit of phlegm or something later on. But if it gets into your nostril hairs and into your nose, you're never going to get rid of the smell, especially if it comes to death or anything like that. That's a smell you never want to smell, because it haunts you for a while. Do you know what I mean? But once you're done, one or two, it's water off a duck's back. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. That's what I was going to ask you about too, about your mental health and the mental health of your team. Like, how do you care for yourselves when you've gone into traumatic situations?
Well, we do have a mental health person on board, and we have to give our staff 2 free visits a year as part of our HNS. But we verbalise everything we do. You know, we constantly chatter back and forwards. If you've got a problem, you come and see us, or you ring us at any time of the day or night or whatever, and we're there for you. But we find that we tend to make a lot of our work a bit of a joke to a degree. You know, like, we'll play Sherlock Holmes and stuff like that, figuring out who's up into who and who's not paying the bills. And but this gets us aside, because we create a scenario in our mind rather than concentrating on the fact of what we're doing, even though we know what we're doing, our training becomes automatic. But we create stories in our mind and go, I bet you this one's on drugs, you know, and I bet you this one's doing this, and I bet you this one's doing that. So we create stories to keep us going, and it takes the heaviness out of the situation that can follow. You know, and always I'm constantly saying stupid things to make people laugh, because I think laughing every day is our best medicine, you know. And like Spike Milligan says, it's infectious. You know, we need to smile every day. And I'm a firm believer in saying something silly and making people laugh, and that's what gets us by.
Yes, I am a firm believer in that. I say some stupid things on this podcast just to put a smile on people's face.
And it works. It really does. And people will remember you for that. Do you know what I mean? They'll remember you for your indifference and your funniness and all the different things that come up, but they won't remember the tough issue.
Mm. Yeah. And I can imagine that your clients also remember your compassion, even if you do, even if they have that brashness sometimes, or yeah. like you come across brash sometimes. I'm sure that you and your staff are trained in compassion and empathy, and that what they remember.
Well, I had one woman ring me, or she was messaging me back and forwards, and I couldn't remember who she was, but she was a former client of ours. And she'd seen me on LinkedIn and she made a contact with me. And she said to me, oh, do you mind if I ring you? I said, yeah, no problem. And so anyhow, she rang me. I gave her the number and she rang. And she goes, oh, do you remember me? I was from such and such a property and you did my house and so-and-so recommended me to you and you'd done her house too. And she said, we'll still give out your cards, you know. We'll still give out your cards. So people don't forget. Do you know what I mean? And it's how you leave that lasting impression on them that is the most important to building your business. You know what I mean? Care, compassion, and dignity is our catch cry. And our motto is excellence is no accident.
No, it is not. Yeah. How do you feel, Sandra? Do you get called back to the same property sometimes, you know, a couple of years later? How does that work for you?
We have had that happen, and a lot of it happens through DHHS. Mm-hmm. And but they've knuckled down a bit on that now because their budgets are getting a bit wild. And really, I object to DHHS constantly paying out for properties because it's really, if they can't look after the property, they should be given an opportunity to either smarten up or piss off, because this is our investment as a taxpayer. We own these properties and we're allowing you to stuff them up and put holes in the wall and shit and piss everywhere or not take your rubbish out. I think, hang on, Barley Charlie, you know, you've got to learn. So I went to the Minister, Martin Foley, when it was his brief, and I said to him, we need to have a program involved where we train people how to clean,
100%.
How to get a budget together, how to get the cogs in the family to work together. And he said, oh, no, we've got that. Well, in the 30 years that I've been working, I haven't bloody seen it yet. And to me, it's a fog off. It's another expense, but it would be an expense worthwhile because
it's an investment.
We could say to them, okay, you agree to the terms and conditions to get the clean done and you will look after it. We will go back for some backup visits to work with them to clean up the house on the program that we would give them. And if they don't do it, then they're subject to be kicked out of the house and give it to a family that's going to look after it. You know what I mean? I'm sorry, I'm a little bit Gina hard-faced bitch there, but I think we have to come to terms with where we're spending our money. Money is not, you know...
infinite, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. We have to, you know, be a little bit tough, and a little bit of discipline in our community would go a long way.
It's also getting to the heart of the matter though, isn't it, though?
It is, and people... a lot of it is with DHHS, a lot of it is, yes, sure, there's a lot of mental health and drug and alcohol abuse and that, but you still know how to wash and clean. And you're teaching your kids to do the same thing you're doing. And so we're getting generation after generation after generation of people that don't know how to look after themselves. And we, as the elders, need to say, right, enough's enough. We need to smarten this up. You're either going to learn or you're going to batch for yourself.
And I think so much of it is about providing that learning opportunity. So many people say to us, Sandra, I just never got taught this. I just never got taught that you pick up after yourself, or that when you've got dirty clothes, you take them to the laundry, not let them pile up in the corner of your bedroom.
Well, look at the millennials now. They wouldn't know what to, they wouldn't even know how to fit a light, fix a light fuse. You know, they wouldn't know how to change a light globe or pull someone in. Like, God help us in the future.
I'm pretty glad to say that in our families, our kids are incredible. But I think in a lot of, like, in our community, our podcast and online community, I think there really is a shift where people are saying, no, we want to train and mentor our kids so they're functioning, healthy adults, which I love.
And this business about giving every kid a prize, I'm so against that. You know, you get a prize, you get a prize, you get a prize. Oh, piss off. Life is not like that. You know, life is tough.
Exactly.
Unless you learn to ride with the punches, you're never going to survive. We have kids these days that are killing themselves because their first love affair went sour. Well, excuse me, have we taught them how to be, to stand up for themselves, to believe in themselves before they believe in someone else? You know what I mean? Like, if you're going to die over someone else, you might as well give up the ghost a long time ago. Sorry, but we need to be a little bit tougher.
I want you to be like the elder of every community, Sandra, like once a week, just send out some hard truth to us.
Give them a clip over the bloody back of the head, you know. No discipline in children has got flies on it. And some bureaucrat that we haven't even voted for is making these decisions on our behalf, and there's no consequences for how fucked up it becomes. Fucked up it is, you know, in the end. So we need to say, no, this exercising with people's lives or experimenting with people's lives, you've got to be held accountable if it goes wrong. And look at the community we're building now. It's not a very good representation of how we should be as a community. We've got all these dill heads out there now. I don't need to wear a mask. Hang on, you're part of a community. We all help each other. We all work together. We've got a pandemic on our hands. Do you know what I mean?
And you don't just do it for yourself. You do it for the community, as you said.
Community. We have to work together. You know what I mean? Like, all right, you can have your thoughts and all this sort of stuff, but doesn't mean everyone's going to agree with you. And if the majority say no, it's bloody no.
Tell us, how has COVID affected your business?
Well, it's made it busier. So we've had to learn a lot of new practices as well. Implement buying a lot more expensive equipment and things like that to get jobs done. But it's been a positive in a way for us that we haven't really lost work, where a lot of other industries have lost a lot of work or had to put people off and things like that. So at a negative, we've got a positive, but not everyone's got the positive. Mm. So, you know, to me, it's been okay. But then the industry that I'm in too, not that I ever thought like this, but it's not a dying industry. It's you die and then we come. You know? I don't mean to be horrible about that.
No, but, you know, people are dying every day.
And all this all the time. So a business is going to be needed for eternity.
If someone's interested in becoming a trauma cleaner, do you suggest that they reach out to you, Sandra, have a look at your website? What's the steps to take?
They can certainly give us a call and have a chat to us and see what it's about. But, like, it's hard work. You won't need a gym membership, I can tell you now. You'll be as fit as Billy-O. But it's hard work, a lot of training involved. You have to get your head around that. And it's not a job for the lighthearted. A lot of people have come and they've gone, oh, no, this is not for me, because it's the smell too. You might see pictures of a dirty, filthy room or something, but until you're in there smelling it, it's a different ball game.
It's a whole another level, isn't it?
Yeah, very much so. So, like, if people are interested, please contact Sandra at stcservices.com.au or 1300 583 583, and talk to anyone there and we'll see what we can do.
And that's probably also the details to get in contact if you think that you or someone that you love may need the help of Sandra's team in your home or the home of someone.
Yeah, the gentle approach, not the ram yard approach, because forcing people to do some will not work, because they'll only reoffend quicker and bigger than before, because you've taken all their security away. So it has to be handled in a very delicate way so that they feel like part of the process. Like, to me, they are the captains of the ship. We guide them along the way as doing the oars. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And so by suggesting several different ways for them to do something and they come up with one of those suggestions, we go, oh, what a great idea. Let's get along with that. You know what I mean? So that's how you do it, through encouragement and letting them decide which option they want. And we go, okay, that sounds like a bloody good option. You know, let's do that one. You know, so encouragement all the way rather than telling people, because people get their back up straight away. And once they got their back up, you're making a rod for your own back. You know what I mean? So, and we always ask, are you serious about getting this clean done? You know, because there's a lot of work in here, there's a lot of money involved. Are you really serious? You want to make these changes in your life? And sometimes we have to do the forced cleans on people. And I remember we had a lady in a government property, and she didn't want the clan down hell or high water, but she didn't have the capability of ringing the maintenance team or anything like that. And she had a few sewage overflows over many years, and she lived amongst this flood and all this sort of stuff. And the house was just disgusting. She fought all the way. In the end, we had to condemn the place because the black mold was so bad that she couldn't possibly go back in there and live. She hated our guts. But 6 months later down the line, she went to the support person. She said, oh, how can I thank you? How can I thank you? She said, my life is... She said, I thought I was dying. She said, now I'm in a clean place and I can see my grandchildren again and like all that mold and everything. I had no idea. They don't know how to express themselves. So like, you know, out of something that was hard in the beginning, there was a reward at the end.
You're an inspiration, Sandra.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
I've listened to quite a...
You can see so many vast ways of doing it. And people become very cunning too, you know, because like they... Families come to us and they go, oh my God, I had no idea. And they're crying their eyes out and all that. So relax, relax, relax. They chose to live that way. And this is why when you'd say to them, okay, Mum, I'll meet you and we'll pick you up for lunch or something like that. And they'll go, oh no, I'll meet you down at the post office because I've got a little message to do on the way there. And then when it was to take them home, oh no, the doctor's told me it's good for my health to walk. So I'll walk back. So they can get very cunning about letting people into their homes and stuff like that, and they can look well preserved on the outside because they have a garden or something do that, but the inside could be an absolute nightmare, you know. And like, and I remember many, many years ago when I first started the business, we did the head writer of the age, and she lived in squalor, absolute squalor, no gas, no electricity or water, and she used to go down to the communal bathrooms in the Art Deco block of flats that along Mount Alexander Avenue. And she used to clean there and she presented herself quite well for work. But, you know, like you just don't know. Under that guise, people can be very cunning, very cunning.
So guilt and shame ridden, isn't it? Like the people that you deal with, they're just living under years and years of shaming themselves or being shamed by others.
And this is why it's important that you go in there as a connecting human being to make them feel they've got a safe ground to fall.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? This is why I'll go in there and I might be sitting next to shit or something like that, but it's okay. It's only for a short time. I can overcome that. Do you know what I mean? But my staff will be coming and they have to wear PPE because otherwise I'll get into trouble with the boss.
Yeah, and we say that sometimes we have to wear PPE and we just say, look, it's because we're in this every single day.
Yeah.
This is today for you, but this is today and tomorrow and the next day for us and our staff.
And plus I'm tripping from property to property to property and, you know, I could cross-contaminate you, so I need to do it to protect you. You know what I mean? They're all just to get back towards the client to make them feel better about themselves.
Yeah.
This has been such a joy and a delight, Sandra. We will let you get back to your beautiful day. Thank you so much for your time.
4 o'clock.
Sandra.
News now.
Thanks, girl. Lovely to meet you. Bye. Right.
Take care. Bye-bye. Bye.
Thank you. See ya.
Bye-bye.
That was a fascinating discussion that we just had with Sandra. Hey, Amy.
Oh, my gosh, she's so interesting. And I can imagine you don't grow up thinking you're going to become a trauma cleaner, but the beautiful spirit which she brings to her clients is quite inspiring.
Yeah. If you want to learn more about Sandra Pankhurst, then there is a beautiful, beautiful book written by Sarah Krasnostein. Hope I'm saying that right. It's called The Trauma Cleaner, One Woman's Extraordinary Life in Death, Decay and Disaster. Amy and I have both read it. We love it. So recommend it to anybody. It's a fascinating read. Sandra, the book goes into a whole lot more about Sandra's life, more than just the trauma cleaning, but her history. And so it is a fascinating read and we highly recommend it. You can check it out wherever you get your good books. And we really hope you enjoyed that conversation.
We do. And we just wanted to give a quick shout out to a new Patreon supporter that we have got in the last couple of days. So we just want to say, Courtney Miller, thank you so much for coming on board our Patreon team. It's because of you and other Patreon supporters that we can continue to bring you this podcast and feel supported. So thank you.
Thank you.
We'll see you next week.
Yeah, we'll be back with you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us.
If you've learnt something awesome today, we'd love you to leave us a review on iTunes or Facebook so others can find our podcast too.
Don't forget you can see the show notes in your podcast app or over at our website, artofdecluttering.com.au. So if there's anything you want more info on, check it out there.
If you'd like to join our supporter community, you can do so over at patreon.com/theartofdecluttering.
We hope you have a great rest of your day
and enjoy the freedom.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.